Hey everybody, my name is Jessalyn and I'm an overcomer. Hello, welcome. At this time, we're going to go ahead and pass the baskets. You can either put your money in the basket or a check. We have a red box in the back. You can put your offerings in the back as well. Or you can scan these QR code right here. And there's also a text option to text that number GIVE, and you can get instructions through text message. We use this money to pay the bills, y'all, and to help others. So please put your money in the basket. And Lord, we just ask that you multiply every dollar in that basket tonight to do what we are doing at Serenity Church and we have been doing for the past 20 years. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, hey, Serenity Church, welcome. I'm so happy you're joining us in person today, and welcome to all those joining us online. We're glad that you're here, whether you're listening in your car or at home or on YouTube. Thank you for joining. Amen. Happy August 1st. Can you believe it? School is right around the corner. School is going to start soon. This summer went by so fast. If you need a Bible pin or a bulletin, I have a handsome man right here passing those out. Just raise your hand. My beefcake. Sorry. That's my husband, y'all. I can call him a beefcake. All right, so summer went by so quickly. Next weekend is tax-free shopping weekend. And I don't know about you, but for me, those words, tax-free shopping weekend, makes me want to stay home. But, you know, if you need a bunch of clothes, go ahead. And I just want to encourage you to be kind to the shoppers and to keep your cool, even though our Texas weather says otherwise. We're starting a brand new series tonight on the topic, which I really love this topic, and it is on the fruit of the Spirit. Can everyone turn to their neighbor and say fruit? That's right. Fruit.
Fruit.
Fruit. That's right. It's not plural, okay? It doesn't have an S at the end of it. So if you didn't know that, that's your first lesson on this topic. There's no S. It's not plural. So what are the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22 through 23 tells us, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This describes the character that the Holy Spirit produces in the life of a Christ follower. These qualities describe the person of Jesus. As we abide in Jesus, as we abide in Him and walk in the Spirit, we will reflect the character of Jesus, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. So I remember being newly sober 8 years ago. I'm 8 years sober now. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I remember going to church, and I was serving in children's ministry in the very beginning. I needed that because I didn't know much about the Bible, and I thought, what better way to know that than teaching a bunch of kindergartners? So we were learning the fruit of the Spirit, and when we have the Holy Spirit, we should produce this fruit in our lives. It's evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I wanted so badly to produce this fruit right away, because I wanted to be able to have this fruit as proof that I was a new creation in Christ. The old me has passed away, and look at all this fruit. I'm new, you know? But that's not the way it worked in the beginning. It did not happen for me right away. There was days where I was full of fear and anxiety, and that was proof that I didn't have peace present. And then there were days where I would blow up at my kids, and so there was no patience or kindness evident in my life. And still operating in many old behaviors, many old sins, there was no self-control in my life. I had resentments towards people that were really messing me up still in the beginning of recovery, and that showed that there was not love present in my life. And so I was really confused because I was like, okay, God, I'm going to church. I stopped drinking. I stopped using drugs. I'm serving. I'm going to meetings almost every day of the week. Where is this fruit that I'm reading about? And so I would get discouraged Why was the fruit not evident in my life? Then someone told me, which really made me feel better, that fruit takes time to grow.
Yeah.
Fruit takes time to grow. So I got this really large, I have one today, I love these. They're giant sticky notepads. You know, you take a note, you put it on the wall, and sometimes you can play Pictionary on them. That's what we use ours for today. But at the time, when I was newly sober, single with three children, I had this big giant sticky note, and I drew a tree on it with all the fruit of the Spirit on here, and me and my children memorized it. And so I was doing this. I was trying really hard to get this fruit to grow in my life, but it wasn't, and I just would get discouraged. And there was an element that I was not taking into account when this was going on. And you see, right before scripture, this scripture about the fruit of the Spirit, right before that, there's another scripture that talks about the flesh. And it says this, starting in Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in time past, that those who participate or practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So these are the works of the flesh. And I was newly sober. I still had many of these things present in my life. And I tell you the truth, today I'm not perfect still, and some of these things hit me up every once in a while. When will the evidence of the Spirit be present in my life, Lord? How many people have thought this before? Anybody? All right, cool. Some of y'all are honest. Sweet. So for those of you who raised your hand, let me explain what's going on here. I'm about to help you out, and maybe some of y'all who didn't raise your hand. So we're going to go pick on poor Adam and Eve right now. And I'm sure when we get to heaven, Adam and Eve will have a whole bunch of security guards around them just to protect them from the questions like, why did y'all eat that fruit, man? Couldn't you have just said no to a serpent? I mean, who says yes to a serpent anyway? There was plenty of stuff for you to eat. Come on. So when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they were removed from the Garden of Eden, and sin entered into the world. The Christianese term for this is the fall of man. And because of the fall, we all inherited this sinful nature called the flesh. We inherited it. It's on us. I just read to you the works of the flesh, right? So ever since then, every Christian person who has experienced the ongoing battle between the flesh and the spirit, every one of us have experienced that. And now carnal people and worldly people, they are not Christians, so they really don't struggle with this. But we do. We do. Scripture tells us that the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. And that's Galatians 5:17. So that means the spirit in us and the flesh are at war against each other. There's a battle going on within us all the time. As followers of Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we still live in these earthly bodies that are affected by the fall. That means the battle doesn't disappear the moment we are saved. And that's what I didn't know in the beginning. On this side of heaven, we will always have to choose daily whether to feed the flesh or to walk in the Spirit. The good news is that God has not left us to fight alone.
Amen.
He has given us His Holy Spirit, who empowers us to overcome the desires of the flesh and live in obedience to Him. One day, when we are with Christ, we will finally be free from the presence of sin forever. But until then, our job is to surrender to Him daily, trusting that His grace is sufficient and that He who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. And the best news of all is God knows who he's working with.
That's right.
He knows you are not perfect. One of the reasons why Jesus came is to be the ransom for sin.
Amen.
To take our sin so we can be cleaned up. Praise the Lord. God knows your heart, and he knows when you continue to sin on accident, you make mistakes. He knows your heart when you turn away and turn towards him. And he is faithful to forgive. First John 1, 8 through 9 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So don't become discouraged if you look at your life today and think, "I don't see very much fruit." Every believer is in the process of sanctification. That's another Christianese word. God doesn't expect brand new believers to have the same spiritual maturity as someone who's been walking with him for 30 years. And he definitely does not expect us to be perfect like his son Jesus. You can think of it this way. Think about planting an apple seed. The apple seed doesn't just produce fruit overnight. It has to grow, and then it produces fruit. A Christian doesn't immediately display every fruit of the Spirit in abundance. Growth takes time. It requires abiding in Christ, staying in his word, praying, being obedient, and following the Holy Spirit to continue to transform us. Now, you know the enemy would love it if we were discouraged and we were frustrated and we would give up and we would feel defeated. But God is patient with us. He is not asking you to be perfect. He is asking you to remain in him one day at a time.
Amen.
If you keep surrendering to him one day at a time, he promises to continue to work in you. So, the question isn't, why am I not producing fruit? That's not the question. The question is something that Ken Blackerby likes to say, and this is what it is. What is something new that you can do today to get closer to Jesus? What is something you can do new today to get closer to Jesus? If you can ask yourself this question and you get closer to Jesus every day, do you think you can do this? Can you do that? Ask this question every day and slowly grow closer to Jesus. It's very simple. If you can do that, that's called abiding in Christ. And abiding in Christ is how fruit develops. Even slow growth is still growth. And God delights in seeing his children faithfully mature one day at a time. John 15, 4 through 5 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So what is something we can do every day to get a little closer to Jesus? Well, pray. That's good. Worship. Good. I'm glad you are answering. I was not planning that. Who else has something? What? Spend time in his word. Amen. Well, 10 and 11?
Step 11.
Okay. Well, we're about to talk about some of that. So this would not be Serenity Church if we did not take a look at the big book. And if you're new to Serenity Church, asking what the heck is this big book? Because it's happened before. I'm like, oh my gosh, you don't know what the big book is. Okay, this is our text used for Alcoholics Anonymous. This book was written in the 1930s, and it is the first 12-step recovery book. We know the writers of the book used scripture to create the steps and the promises and the practices that we use in AA. And many times in Serenity Church, we call this book Christianity or Spirituality for Dummies. Let's see. Oh, the steps in this book also can help anyone with just about anything,
yeah,
as long as you're willing and honest. So it's not just for alcohol or drugs. if you have codependency, overeaters, depression, whatever it is, these steps can help just about anyone with just about anything, as long as you're issues, as long as you're honest and willing.
Amen.
Amen. So there's a parallel in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that relates to exactly what Paul is talking about in Galatians, this this battle between the fruit and the spirit, the flesh and the spirit. Let's take a look. If you turn to page 84 in the big book, that's step 10. It says this. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commenced to this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these things crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code.
Amen.
Amen. So there are a few things here that I want to point out. The first one is, we have entered the world of the Spirit. So this describes a person who has done what it takes to move from self-will and bondage of sin to living a new way of life led by the Holy Spirit. This is exactly what Paul is teaching in Galatians. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." This is for someone who is aware of their defects of character, their sin. They're maybe working the steps, using a sponsor. They're turning their will and life over to the care of God. They have entered the world of the Spirit. The next things I want to point out is, this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Just like the Bible, the big book says recovery is not a one-time deal. We must continue the journey one day at a time for a lifetime. The Christianese term for walking with Jesus one day at a time is the process of sanctification. It's an ongoing process of transformation, little by little. Oh boy. Romans 12:2 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So just like Ken Blackerby says, what is something new that you can do today to get closer to Jesus? Work the steps. Open the Bible. Listen to sermons on YouTube or podcasts. There are so many ways. Ask someone in here. Talk it out. We have plenty of ideas. We have plenty of stuff you can do. Next, in the big book, it tells us, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. These are examples of manifestations of work of the flesh. Look for those things. And again, Romans 8:5 says, set your mind on things of the Spirit, not on things of the flesh. One more time, the things of the flesh are, in Galatians 5, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. Those are angry arguments, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions. That's strong disagreements. Or, for example, today it might be radical political views that you voice on Facebook or in public. Heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries. Who knows what revelries are? Wild partying, dancing on tables with loud music, boy. Anyone dance on tables with loud music? Okay, I'm not the only one either. Good, there we go. Some more honesty. Tequila was involved, I'm telling you what. Well, we can't do that no more, y'all. We can't do that no more. Okay. And then what do we do next? What do we do? When these crop up, these manifestations of the flesh, when they start to happen, when they start whispering in our ears, when these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. At once. It says when these things crop up, not if these things crop up. And it says at once. We ask him to remove them. We don't sit there and play with them and entertain them and hold on to them and cradle them for a little bit. We at once ask God to remove them. When resentment pops up, we don't sit there and think, how can I get even with them? What can I say to them? What can I do? When fear creeps in, we don't sit there and think of all the shoulda, coulda, wouldas or the what ifs. We at once ask God to remove it. Listen to this. How about when that thing pops in your mind to open that website and click on that website? We don't just sit there and think about it and wonder if it's going to hurt somebody or if anybody finds out. No, we ask God at once to remove it.
Right.
Remove those thoughts. And this is a scripture that I chose for this. Cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Throw your anxieties, your cares, throw those thoughts on him. He's asking you to do that. Just let him have it. He wants them. We cannot be ashamed to go to God when we are having these things in our life. That is exactly what the enemy wants, to keep you from your heavenly Father, to keep you from being healed. Whenever I hear this scripture, I will forever think of Trina and Shay's sister-in-law, Shauna. She would think of this scripture, and she would go in her backyard and pick up a pine cone and chunk it and cast it, and that was her casting her cares upon the Lord. And she did that every time. And I've actually used this example for people, and it works. If you need to physically cast something, go do that. So what's the next thing we do? We discuss them with someone immediately. After we ask God to remove it at once, we should discuss immediately. These are very quick processes that should only be happening within a 5-minute period or so. Very quickly. Wouldn't you agree? At once and immediately don't mean wait until tomorrow. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. That's James 5:16. A sin and a character defect grows in secrecy, and it grows in the dark. But healing happens when we are rigorously honest and willing, when we bring that sin or that shame or that secret into the light with another person, a wise counsel. You pick wise counsel, someone that you can trust, someone that wants the best for you, someone that is experienced in some things that you have gone through before, so they can pray for you and give you direction. You don't just tell anybody anything. You choose wisely your wise counsel. All right, the next step in step 10, the next part to break it down, is make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. This is so important. Did you harm anyone today? We had this awesome speaker Wednesday. If you missed it, I'm so sorry. He was really good. He should be back here to be right here one day, hopefully. What he said about making amends was really cool, because amends is not just saying I'm sorry. Amends has action behind it. So if you've hurt someone, you go to them. And sometimes that action can be just continually showing up and loving them consistently every day. Just doing that is making amends to someone. Sometimes it's money. You have to pay someone back. Sometimes if you don't have the money, you mow the lawn or you do yard work at their house. That's very important to make your amends. It's not just I'm sorry. It's action. And don't rob yourself of this if you have to make an amends. Don't text them. Don't Facebook Messenger them. Look them in the eyes and tell them that you truly mean you are sorry, you know what you put them through, and that you're ready to make things right. Not by Facebook Messenger. Come on. The next action we need to take when working step 10 is then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. This is the one, Shay mentioned it earlier. This is one of the best ways to fight against the flesh and selfishness. That is to get out of ourselves and see how we can help someone else. When we are feeding our flesh, we're always in the mindset of what about me? But when we are walking in the Spirit, our focus is how can we help someone else? How can we be the hands and feet of God, of Jesus? There are many ways we can serve in this church right here. You can also serve with Logan. He does all kinds of stuff at Life Fellowship with prison ministry. Today there was an event. We have lots of stuff here too. Ken Blackerby and Katrina Blackerby, they can help you find something to do to get out of yourself.
August
9th, right here, we're going to be moving. It's a Sunday. That's a Sunday. Y'all come here August 9th at 3 p.m. Oh, stop. Right here. The parking lot is just right over there, you know, the new place. So just help us move this church over there. Real easy. We might even get something to eat afterward in fellowship, okay? So... So Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And last but not least, certainly not least, love and tolerance of others is our code. This reflects the fruit of the Spirit. So I'll go through the fruit of the Spirit one more time. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And, you know, when I was going in, when I was newly in recovery, I thought the best of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Because if I have self-control, I'm not going to rage on the highway. I'm not going to yell at the kids. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be kind. But that is not the most important. The most important of these is love. And if we can operate in love, we can do these.
Amen.
All right, the band can come back up. As we can see the battle between the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh is really in every Christian. Every Christian battles with this. None of us are immune to the struggle. The good news is that God has given us His Holy Spirit, and through the principles and practice of the 10th step, we have a practical tool that will help us be more honest and aware and accountable. The goal is not perfection. It's progress, not perfection, right? The goal is awareness also. As we become more aware of our shortcomings, we can admit them, turn away from them, make amends for them, and continue growing closer to Christ. This process refines our character and strengthens our walk with God. Over time, we begin to recognize the defects of character more quickly. Before speaking in anger, before acting selfishly, before giving in to that temptation, we are able to pause before we do those things and ask ourselves, do I really want to make amends for this? That was one of my first things, like, do I really want to make amends for that? No, I don't, because making amends is hard. Do I really want to experience the consequences of this choice? Do I really want to trade what I have right now for this temptation that is in my face right now? Do I want to trade what I have right now? No. The moment of awareness creates space for the Holy Spirit to start working and redirecting us. Step 10 is not about living under condemnation. It is about living in continual awareness and surrender, allowing God to reveal what needs to change in us so that more fruit can grow in us and we become more evident. Our fruit becomes more evident. As we practice this daily, we move further from the works of the flesh and closer to the life that God created us. Last scripture I have for you tonight is walk in the Spirit and you shall not not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. Every day we have a choice. Feed the flesh or walk in the Spirit. Step 10 helps us recognize